Assembled to in a very family like way as children of Radha Gopinath that we all are eternally. We assembled here to celebrate this what I would think is like a real Janmashtami for us. Now the Janmashtami is more like for people outside where we are expected not to come here and we stay away from the temple. But just before the Janmashtami is there, this mood of celebrating the Lord's appearance is so much fulfilled in our own hearts together, because we are here on Gopinath's appearance day, which is the 17th of July, 1988. Therefore, it makes us feel very, very happy that we are all together at Krishna's lotus feet, serving Him, talking about Him, singing His glories. So a little bit about the history of this place. As Srinathji Prabhu was explaining, this particular place, we'll just go a little historically and drive down to more present times. I would like to think of my talk here as the growth and evolution of Radha Gopinath Temple, how it has evolved. Of course, it all begins with Lord Chaitanya, in one sense, who has proclaimed Prithivityachayat Nagaradi Gram Sarvada Prachar Havi Moranam. That is the primary mission statement of Lord Chaitanya's movement, that in every town and village of the world, the Harinam would be spread and deliver all fallen conditioned souls. That being the primary goal of Lord Chaitanya's movement, the Lord Chaitanya himself has sanctified the city of Mumbai. As we all know, in the map of Saraswati Thakur, he has exclaimed very clearly that Mahaprabhu Chaitanya has come to Mumbai, which was that time not Bombay as given by the British's name. It was Dwapayani. The name of the original, this island is called Dwapayani, and Mahaprabhu has come here. And we are very close to this very auspicious place of Valkeshwar, where Lord Ramchandra has come. So this place is very sanctified. It has got the holy footprints of Lord Ramchandra and Lakshmanji and Mahaprabhu Chaitanya. So keeping that in mind, Srila Prabhupada, of course, wanted very much that he, as history goes, this particular place, the first document of this place officially available in our records is in 1857. This place is documented as its existence of this property is 1857, which is the what you call as a national uprising movement, right? So the uprising of Krishna consciousness that way, as far as this building is concerned, is the document is 1857. And this building was constructed primarily, this is a 130-year-old building. It may fall any time, of course. But this is 1885, the building, not this is stature, the smaller structure was there. And as this big famine broke up, I was told in Gujarat, and at that time, this Rustamji Seth, we want to remember him today at least, we should remember him. Rustamji Seth and this sailor, Nathu Bahadur, they gave a lot of money. And in order to get the permission to make this a bigger place for the orphans, they had to invoke the mercy of the governor. He said, I will give you my mercy, I mean, give you my permissions and everything else, but it put my wife's name first in that also. So half name was Hindu Orphanage, and the half name was Lady Northcote, which was his wife's name. And because his wife's name was there, he was very much charitable to, you know, allow things to happen. So 1900, this trust was sort of initiated, and 1905 it was registered. And since then, this place, this is a place where orphans would stay, coming from Gujarat. So it's very significant. Why I'm telling the story is because actually we are all like orphans, is it not? Prabhupada's movement began in the matchless gift storefront at New York, where you got the matchless gift of Krishna consciousness, which is so wonderful. That name was very significant. And for all of us to be sheltered here in this beautiful, beautiful building, we are the orphans. We are all coming as orphans here. We had lost our parent. We had lost Sri Radharani and Sri Krishna. And by coming here to this building, we have got them again. So let us not forget that from Anath, by coming here, we became Sanath. We became Sanath in this building. So this building is very auspicious for all of us. This building is the root of our auspiciousness in that sense. The first residents to come into this property were Lakshmi Narayan. They are the first original residents of this property. They came here in the month of Kartik in 1921-22, something like that. So they came here and they are still staying here in this old property, and they have been worshipped there. And Mahatma Gandhi used to come here also. He used to stay very close by Lebanon Road. The oldest resident of this property, as far as our contemporary time is concerned, is Murari Krishna Prabhu, you know, who stays Sharad Biharani Mataji. His father started staying here in 1942. And then he started staying here in 1968. He got married in 79. So three generations of his are staying in this very compound. And right now, Sachi Prasad is there. And, you know, if he gets a baby, then the four generations will be in this property, which is very nice. And he was explaining that this place, which is now what we see, was a place, this was the cricket ground for them. This Northcote orphanage home, he was staying with the orphans there. There were 150 orphans at the time, originally. And they would play cricket here. There's a big stage here, wooden stage, huge stage, dark, dampy place, cobwebs everywhere. And they would play cricket. The rule of the cricket was that if the ball hits the fan, then it is out. So that was the type of use this place had. It had always been some sort of a cultural, cultural or rather educational institute. Or some educational institutes were attracted to this place. There was Ghazi classes, and this whole side, on this side, right side, was Mayan tutorial classes, and down below and up here was Tinkerbell School, and just on the left side was Bhola classes. And so this was a place meant for education. A lot of avidya was there, of course. There's no vidya. There's all avidya. And now, of course, we have the base, Bhaktivedanta, the Academy of Cultural Education, which is the real education of Krishna consciousness in an educational way, right? So this place was meant for education, and now we are getting not vidya, but the supreme vidya, tattva vidya, atma vidya. So the devotees primarily moved here. Actually, they set footing in this place. This place was not first given to us. This was just a small, but below. The orphans were there, of course, and then below where our prasadam hall is, there was a small room of 10 by 10. Some devotees were just sheltered there. They sort of landed here in the monsoon of 86. They were orphans. They had no temple to go to, so they were okay. Another orphans can come here also. Some more orphan devotees were added to this place here in the small room there. That was the only that Gopinathapilla was that. That's it. And then somebody brought a small deity from New Vrindavan of Radha Gopinath, of marble deities. Very small, 60-foot deities. They had no altar then. And that altar for them, in the Sankheda altar, was brought to them by Meru Mataji and Damodar Pandit Prabhu. And they were installed down there, and she made some decorations, and some simple worship was going on. And that was 86. And our Gopinath Bhagavan has come from Jaipur, and he was not supposed to come here, actually. he was supposed to go to Vallavidyanagar, I'm told. He was made for that ISKCON temple. But the temple wasn't ready, but deity has his own desire. By his own sweet will, he would rather come to Mumbai to be with all of us than go over there. So because that temple was not ready, deities were brought over here, and they came here in 87 in this particular premises. Murari Krishna Prabhu was the one who actually took out the box, which came right up to here. They stayed for a while in Mahaprabhu's home, right? They stayed for a while. The box stayed in the house of Mahaprabhu, which was like a main center for all of us there, in the absence of this place at Khar. And from Khar, they were brought over here in 87. And they were, of course, formally installed by Radhanath Maharaj in July 17, 1988. However, they were already put on their altar in 87. Right, and there was a first public Janmashtami for their pleasure was 87 Janmashtami. That was the first Janmashtami they enjoyed, and there was a big celebration, and many devotees were welcomed over there. So sort of they started giving their mercy even before they were installed. So they were so kind, they were so merciful. And Maharaj, of course, started coming here. He was deputed by Kirtanananda Swami to be here because many of his disciples were here. And Maharaj entered like a needle, in one sense, Prabhupada's style. You say, entered like a needle, came out like a plow. He just entered so insignificantly. He just came like one of the just simple residents here. totally unassuming. He was not into management. He was not really, you know, sort of being a sannyasi, sort of, you know, I would say throwing his weight type of thing. He was not doing anything of that type. He was just a simple resident here, and this was his place he would sleep. This was the exact place he would sleep here every day in the night, in a small chatai was put over here. And to explain the living conditions, it was very difficult. Now we go to a granite marbled toilet down with a nice flush working, and everything is posh and almost at least 3-star, if not 5. But at that time, the toilets would not drain anything. There was a very, very poor drainage system. And you had to walk through puddles of that before you do your job. And it was a terrible, terrible sewage system here. You can imagine a 130-year-old building. So, you know, what do you expect of the sewage system? It was that type of very, very dilapidated, old structure. Totally unkempt. Who really takes care of the orphans were not cared for. The building was even less cared for than the orphans. So, you know, nothing was in shape here. It was dirty. It was mud here. Cobwebs. Nothing was going on in shape here. And when there is dirt, there is a particular creature gets attracted. And that creature is called as a rat. So, and there were hundreds and literally hundreds of rats staying here. They might be staying from the time of 130 years or whatever. They had made their residence. And they were not small. Those rats who just sprint around. They were weighing about 2-3 kilos in weight. They were huge. I have seen. They were huge rats. The rats were so huge that no cat dared to even look at it. However big and strong a cat would be, I have seen cats. And then the same temple I'm talking about, the 10 by 10 room, I've seen a cat going to the loft and looking like this, like scared of the rat. But these huge rats were there. Unbelievable. You walk down the floor and some rat would, obviously, you come to this property, you have to see several rats and have at least one rat cross over your leg. It was so common. So this was like the adda, you know. For rats, and in a lot of lectures of Maharaj, in the olden days, you'll find Maharaj talking about rats. And we said, Bombay has got a rat race, and all the rats are staying here. So he talks about rats a lot in his initial lectures. It's very funny. So that's how unkempt this place was. That's how dirty it was. A rat-infested place. Mosquitoes, of course. Everything like that. And a few devotees started staying here. There were just 5 brahmacharis initially. Who stayed here. One of them was a deaf and dumb devotee, Ananta Dev Prabhu, very beautiful, wonderful Vaishnav. He was preaching, even though he was deaf and dumb. He was publishing some magazines every month, I remember. And in 88, in the month of... And of course, Maharaj, when he came here, he just started transforming. His mere presence was transformational, I would say. His sheer presence was emanating an aura of change. And nothing really remained the same thereafter. Simply by his sheer presence, the bhakti he performed here, the sadhana bhakti he did here, was the one which actually started happening around. And he was simply into not any projects. He was simply into making devotees come together. And remember, we would come together every month for a meeting downstairs. A little bit more property was given, then 2 rooms were given additionally, which was there. And we call it Kaka and Kaki. They were staying here. Old couple was there. They are Goloka Prabhu is working in our pharmacy in the hospital. His parents were staying here, residents. And of course, Radhakrishna Prabhu came here in the year February of 88. One of the initial residents here. And he remembers that Maharaj took his hands personally and brought him in front of Gopinath Bhagavan and said, "This is Radhakrishna Das, Radhakrishna Prabhu. He will now be your servant." Right, so he remembers that very beautifully, how he was offered personally at the feet of the lordships by Maharaj's loving hands. And that was the beginning of 88. And Maharaj had this beautiful style of doing things, and he would just flood. His style was very profound yet very simple. He would simply give his time and encourage devotees to just chant and hear. And that method was utilized fully in taking them for yatras. So if you see the history of Gopinath Mandir, it's so much centered around facilitating devotee coming together, Sangha of Vaishnavas in the form of these yatras. So the first yatra he took was in the year 86. I'll talk a little bit about the yatras because that's so integral part of our history here. How Gopinath has begun, has grown, is because these yatras were like, you know, facilitating a congregational approach where families would come together and sing and dance in the Lord's abode, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Puri, so many places. So the first yatra of about, I think, 23 devotees was in early December 1986. That was a very beautiful experience of just a three-day yatra. And we are all in shirt and pant. Dhoti Kurta was foreign to us at that time. We were students. I was in my early 20s. I was 22 I was. And we were moving around Vrindavan. It was such a beautiful experience. And there was no planning, no yatra committee. There was no bookings, nothing. It was completely spontaneous. At any point, Maharaj wanted to sit down and give katha, it would be cut down. And everyone would take prasad, just go to some place and have katha, but prasad, right? There was no planning whatsoever. It was completely free. It was very intimate, very, very intimate. Sitting at Keshi Ghat and sitting at Radha Vallabh Mandir. It was beautiful. Those days are very beautiful. As that was 86, and then the latter part of December 86 was the Pune Yatra, and the inaugural first Pune Yatra, the famous Pune Yatra, which the whole world has attended, is being from the small bungalow of our Krishna Chandra Prabhu. He offered in the service of the Vaishnavas. That was in second half of December 86. So we had two buses, and then I believe there were 63 devotees that time, and we had Prasadam and his silver plates. Of course, when you become 3,000, you could afford 3,000 silver plates. It's impossible to feed so many. But it was very beautiful, excellent prasad. You know, you can imagine the hospitality has always been good. And we were young people who had robust hunger, a lot of energy. And Maharaj would make us dance and dance and dance. And it was nothing but just dancing. It was just dance. And I remember dancing hours. Mangala Arati would start at 6 in the morning and go on to 11 in the morning. 5-hour Mangala Arati. And I still remember the aches in my quadricep muscles, which would last for about 10 days after the Pune Yatra. And obviously I was young and obviously I was more energetic than I am now. But even then, we couldn't just stop dancing because Maharaj had us, when he would really sing his melodies and he would be on the mridanga. So when he's on the mridanga and he's singing, then even an old 120-year-old man will start dancing, you know. That is the power of his kirtan. He can make anyone dance. And what to talk of all of us who are wanting to get even more surcharged and intoxicated with Harinam, because he was so magnetic in his demeanor. And if you want to just be around him and sing for him and dance the holy name, it was very nice. So 86, 87, 88, three yatras were in buses. Two buses, I believe, became three later on. But the bus ride was not just, you know, dozing around, you know, like that. It was full of fun. There was kirtan, there was bhajan, and there was dancing in the bus also. So Radha Premataji learned that these people, and she used to go beforehand for preparing for all of us to go there. And when she learned that, you know, there is so much fun in the bus, she would go beforehand to make the arrangements, come back to Bombay and go back again in the bus. To not miss the fun in the bus. Huh? Because there is so much fun. Krishna consciousness is a fun process, is it not? Right? And we were a party to that. We got a really higher taste in those beautiful old days. And the buses are not enough. And then we started going in trains. And then the trains, of course, there was bogies of trains. So the whole bogie would be booked by Krishna Chandra Prabhu and his assistants. They would book the whole bogie for us. And the bogie would stand at Pune for 3 days, and the same bogie would bring us back. It was Koina Express. It would bring us back. Koina would, 4:30, leaves from Pune. And Sunday afternoon, we would leave 4:30, and 9:30 would be at our homes. So, and in the trains also, nobody sat. You see, sitting was taboo. You had to be dancing in the bogie, right? So everyone would be those who are elderly and types, you know, just, you know, they were standing in the gangways and in the khachas, and the young guys were standing on the seats, right? And there's banging of the, the usual style, the Bombay style. And the murdang was, the banging of the patra, of the trains, and kirtan would go on loud, and it would be non-stop kirtan going on till we reached Pune. We would reach something around 10:30, 11. Constant dancing would be there, and the mood would be just set in over there. And to top it all, when devotees were going to an abnormal state of ecstasy, they would start lifting devotees. Literally, and suddenly you're just doing it, Hare Krishna. You're doing like that, and somebody just comes up, two young guys will come and hold your hands and hold your legs and put you like this, right? And you will be up there, and they would pass you like a dead man, they would pass you from one end of the bogey to the other end of the bogey to allow everyone to touch your so-called lotus feet. So even the ladies would sometimes, squeeze their hands off, and some prabhus they would touch, like that. So of course we didn't lift ladies. I'm sorry, not everybody. Only the men were lifted like this. We had some decency there. So that would go on, and then once you reach the bungalow, of course there was more fun. And right in the middle of the kirtan, the same thing would happen. Raghunath Prabhu was the heavyweight, and we would decide, Vishwaroop Prabhu, myself, and others who were there a little more. Apparently stronger, he said, let's lift Raghunath Prabhu now. It's a challenge. And he was at 100 kilos plus. So we would somehow manage to lift him even through that thing, and it was wonderful. And we used to lift Krishna Chandra Prabhu also. He was not spared. What if you are the host, who cares? You would lift him up also, So there was a days of absolute madness. We don't want to duplicate those days again, But they were days of madness. He would play frisbee and cricket in his lawn and all that. Because Maharaj, at that one particular Purnima Yatra, I remember, 87 or 88, he taught us this sloka, which made us go even more wild. And the sloka was, Bhakti Pada Dhuliyara, Bhakti Pada Jala, Bhakta Bhukta Avashishatina Mahabalad. He taught us this, and he made us repeat it many times. The moment we learned these words, we knew that the real magic in Krishna is to catch people, get the dust of their feet. And then this was the way we... The outburst was like this, So, 89, we began going in bogies. And 89, we were celebrating always New Year Eve, which is very important for us to, be in a Krishna environment. So, we would always celebrate Krishna Chandra Prabhu's bungalow here at Altamount Road. But 89, we figured out that Prabhuji said, let's go to Pune and celebrate. So, 89 was a transit where the last 89, December 31st, we were at his bungalow, and first... Or second, we stayed there for 2-3 days and he came back. So it was 89-91, 90 combined. And then henceforth onwards, the Pune Yatra was always in January. From there, it turned into January. So that was the part. So that would be May Yatra. There would be a December Yatra. There would be a Pune Yatra. So there were at least minimum of 3 Yatras in a year. So 88, we went to Badrinath with Radhanath Maharaj and Kirtanananda Swami. It was... ecstatic, going to the Himalayas, the snow, beautiful. It snowed when you were there. It was very nice. It was 88. And then there was Pune Yatra, 88 end. And then 1990, in the beginning of 1990, we went to Hampi. That was wonderful Yatra to Hampi, down south, where Hanumanji was born. And the medicos, the doctors who were there, we sort of clustered together from our early days in Krishna consciousness from 82, 83. We just clustered together at Juhu temple. And we became great friends. And by Krishna's Gopinath's mercy, we are still great friends. And we believe we will be friends forever. So we all clustered together as one sort of informal group of doctors, the medicos. We call ourselves the Hare Krishna Medical Association. It's just some name we coined for ourselves. Some identity for ourselves, HKMA. Hare Krishna Medical Association. That was a loose body of unregistered Vaishnavas in in the year of 87. We called ourselves HKMA. And we began going to Palghar and different places for doing our medical camps. And then in 88, when we went to, in 1990, we went to Hampi. We were desperately looking for a vehicle. Now, we were poor people. We were students. We had no money. We had absolutely no money. We were paupers practically. And we had no money to buy a vehicle of 4 lakhs. It is a figure which is even too wild for a student to even think of, right? But we went to Hampi and we wanted to really have a vehicle to serve the poor people of Mumbai in the slums. And we had some missionary spirit, I believe. Honestly, we want to really do some seva. And Maharaj encouraged that fully. So Maharaj said, you carry a cloth. You carry a cloth of saffron color and you offer it to Hanumanji at Hampi, up in the on the hill where he is there as Bal Hanuman. And you request Hanumanji to descend on that cloth. And when your vehicle comes, you make a flag out of that cloth. The Kapit Dhajwa concept. The Hanumanji in the flag, right? So we went there, and I remember we were there, one of our old friends, Rajbhai Khot, was there, and Maharaj, of course, and we had a wonderful kirtan, and there was a big drum in the top of the hill, an old drum. You know how old type that drum? It's called a nagara, nagara. It's a nagara, actually. The two bend strikes, and the Maharaj was in such ecstasy. Vishwaro Prabhu had a three-hour kirtan there. We were all dancing for 3 hours in front of Hanumanji. Hanumanji even excites you more because Hanumanji is, he's a young man with a lot of energy and we want to dance for his pleasure. And we all felt that Murari Gupta was a doctor, and he's Hanumanji incarnate. And here is Hanumanji, he's the president of our association, you see. Today we all believe that Hanumanji is the president of our association. And he's our man, and if his blessings are there, we can conquer the world. What is the problem, So we were all full of such heightened emotions. And Maharaj just got up and took those bent sticks and played playing the nagara. And Maharaj is an expert in instruments, he's expert in music, he's expert in everything practically. And he was playing the nagara and we became even more surcharged. We can even dancing even more wild. There's ecstatic kirtan, beautiful, beautiful kirtan. Top of the hill, Hanumanji. I wish I can go there again. And that was nice. And then on 6th of April, 1990, we were amazed that the ambulance which we had ordered, which was made at Vasai workshop, when it came to us, it came in a complete saffron color. Now, no ambulance has ever made saffron. By the company people, but we did not tell them the color. We were looking at the what we wanted. We wanted somebody doctor to sit and patient to come and sit here. And so we had designed the interiors. Vaishnav Sevar Prabhu, as that genius that he is, either baithne ka, udhar karne ka, either dispense karne ka. So it was like a mobile ambulance, mobile van. We would dispense it, a mobile dispensary. But it came in saffron color. We knew. We took it as a confirmation that it is Hanumanji's mercy. We put the flag there, and Vishwaro Prabhu started staying here. In May 1st, he came and started staying. He was a resident of this place for 2 years, 1990, May 1st. And Rupa Manjari, of course, she was already born, and she was here, 2.5 years, small girl. She was here for a while in Tinkerbell School. So, and another couple was Prema Bhakti Mataji and Madhusudan Prabhu, and they took charge of the orphans immediately. Madhusudan Prabhu volunteered to take charge of the orphans. There were about 50 of them. And he became like their father, became like the manager, the caretaker for all of them for about 3 years, till our dear Gopinath Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, took full charge of the orphans. In 1993, he just took over as the loving, unmarried father of 50 nice orphans. And he was so wonderful. And Maharaj gave them a lot of love to them. I spoke to one of those orphans, not an orphan anymore, of course, he's a wonderful initial devotee. From the initial batch of orphans who were here at LNHO, two great jewels were born. That is Rupa Goswami Prabhu, who became the head pujari. Imagine being staying as an orphan with, I believe, single parent. That's why they were here. Or maybe no parents. They were. Maybe he lost. I don't know the history of his. But he became the head pujari of Radha Gopinath. From an orphan, right? And another person was Rupa Raghunath Prabhu, who will speak to us in a few minutes. And those two jewels were born. Rupa Goswami, was exported to Pune. And Prabhuji was head pujari for about 6 years over here when he was taken over by Madhavacharya Prabhu for another 9 years tenure, right? So, and from the new batch, which came from Jable Baleshwar, one of our devotees was Gnanadev, now Gauranga Kumar Prabhu. And I have seen the type of love which Maharaj gave all of them. They would all come here in the morning at 10 o'clock for the darshan at 10 o'clock, and they would all bow down to the Bhagavatam, to the deities here, everybody. And they would all, before leaving for the Sharada school nearby, they would go and offer obeisances to Maharaj in his room. That has not changed. The place where he stays, where he stayed in right from 88, in the small room, that has remained the same place, same simple, quaint place. Nothing has changed. They would offer obeisances to him. And they were Marathi speaking, and Maharaj, of course, is no Marathi. But there was tremendous relation between these young children and Maharaj. Huh? And I've seen one day Maharaj hold Gnandev in his lap and said, "You are my son." It was so beautiful that he gave his complete fatherly love to all these children. And he would explain, he was telling me that he would tell us, even Govindaprabhu would tell these boys that, "You are not orphans. The whole world outside is an orphan. Everybody outside here is an orphan because they don't know who a real father is. It is only you lucky souls, 30 of you are staying in this place, only you are the only people who have a father and a mother." And that was Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan. So that is a beautiful statement Maharaj taught, and we all want to believe and keep that mood in our own hearts that we are actually orphans without without them. Even though we have a biological parents, but they are our eternal parents, parents of our soul, parents of our soul. So that was a very nice memory of this young boy who is now Gauranga Kumar, wonderful grihastha, nice father. So that was 1990, and then we had a little chance to stay here also. In 1992, May, when Vishwaprabhu left this place, he was staying just next to Maharaj. Maharaj, he was an immediate neighbor of Maharaj. A small long room where he had his kitchen and everything else. And he would cook for the devotees there at the time. And as happens in most grihastha's life, husband and wife, they talk loudly. And they sometimes even talk even more loudly. So all this would happen, and as it happens in every grihastha would acknowledge this. And Maharaj was the next door neighbor. And Maharaj would just, pat on the plywood, tack, tack, tack. I'm there, I'm listening to all of this. And I would say, "I am so happy and convinced to keep my sannyas vows." He would joke like that with Vishwarup Prabhu and Mataji. It was very nice, beautiful. And we were lucky, Vishagapriya, myself, we were in 1990, May 23rd, I got engaged here, 29th April, 88, in the first engagement year, and then I didn't marry immediately because I was doing my post-graduation. We postponed it for 2 years. It was a long period, but 2 years, I didn't want to get entangled in distractions for my studies. I was already distracted by Krishna consciousness very badly, but not hardly studying. But we were fortunate that in that beautiful historical ceremony of initiations, 1990, 23rd May, where Maharaj was there, and the jewels, the first batch of jewels which entered this campus, headed by Shamananda Prabhu, Sanat Kumar Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, and I believe some others also, but additionally from these three jewels surrendered their lives wholesale. Speech therapist, one was a management student, other was a lawyer, is the first batch of qualified brahmacharis, from the riff-raff brahmacharis who were there earlier. The qualified brahmacharis first batch was this batch. And there were several of them. My brother was there in that ceremony also. Right, Sridhama Prabhu. And they all surrendered their lives wholesale to Gopinath. And they have never looked back since then. So we were fortunate to be in the same initial ceremony which was being performed by Maharaj to get married. So I can have the dubious credit of being the first grihastha that we married here. I can't read. I don't have my specs. What is this, sir?
Middle classes, Maharaj was giving in the room.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is the... So, yes, I got married that time, and very fortunate you saw the picture there in the video. I'm happy to feature there at least, to be part of this beautiful experience which we had together with Maharaj. It was very special fortune bestowed upon Vishagapriya and myself. And Maharaj's availability is something which is, he was just available, just simply available. Any time you called him and said, "Maharaj, it is my brother's birthday, can you come home?" He said, "Yes." So it's my wife's birthday. Can you come? He said, yes. Right? He was simply completely available all the time. There's no appointment system. There was no secretaries, nothing. Just walked into his room directly. Said, Maharaj, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Sit down. And then he would have kirtans. You know, Maharaj is a kirtaniya. He's a great Vaishnava. He has a heart of full of love for katha and kirtan. And that was always the emphasis of our temple. Yes, the temple was getting beautiful, more and more beautiful in Maharaj's guidance, but it was not that the main focus was to attract devotees through the wood and the carvings. The emphasis was always to attract conditioned souls to katha and kirtan. Krishna katha and kirtan was always and will be and should be the always emphasis of all times, because that is Navida Bhakti, the pillar of Navida Bhakti, Shravan and Kirtan. So we'd go into his room and he would have harmonium and he would just sing. And again, it was never sitting kirtan. It was always a small room, which you can see now how small it is. There'll be about 30, 40 of us. And we're all tied together and still, you know, trying to jump and rubbing shoulders on both sides and still trying to, and you know, practically stuck to the wall and still trying to jump, you know, stuck to the wall. And he would make us jump and dance. So the taste for kirtan was wonderful there. And even the brahmachari classes began from that time, 1990. There's a foreign concept to them. The brahmachari class, morning bhagavatam class is always there. But the first time Maharaj installed the system, which all of you still carry on now, the legacy of the old days, 1990 began the brahmachari class, which was at 11 o'clock. A lot of resistance was there. You know, no time, these, that, so many things were being said, washing clothes and you know, blah, 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 so many things. But Maharaj, when he's fixed and this is all. I said, there should be a class at 11 o'clock. And he began giving the CC classes, the Chaitanya Charitamrita classes. These are beautiful classes which are still recorded by some of our devotees. It's there, I think, in the archives also. And each devotee would prepare something from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and they would present. And taking clue from that, my dear friends, Adikesha Prabhu, Murida Prabhu and myself, we took clue from that they are having brahmachari class where we are not allowed. It is, you know, this foreign place for us. So we would sit right here, up here, and we would, after the, when Thursday's seva would be over in the deity department, we would, three of us sit here for 1 hour, and we three would discuss together teaching of Lord Chaitanya. And so that was very nice. And that gives a taste for reading Prabhupada's books. It is a nice experience. We shared for about 2-3 years. We did that, and then, of course, things changed. And in this way, the temple has been growing, and there is a lot to say, a lot to experience. But what I can conclude by is saying that we are all the receivers of unlimited good fortune. Whether we are there in the good old days or, Prabhupada said, there is nothing like good old days. Even now, the days are so wonderful. And now we are so many more of us. So to the extent we keep the birth of today's Krishna's Janma, in that sense, deity was manifested here today, was sort of revealed himself to us, all of us over here. To the extent we keep Krishna alive in our hearts, it is not his Janma, it is our Janma. To the extent we keep his memories alive in our heart, to the extent we continue devotional service with sincerity, we will be alive in Krishna consciousness. The moment we forget him, we will be dead spiritually. So let us never forget Radha Gopinath. Let us never forget. Let us today be a day to express a heartfelt gratitude. Basically, for him coming over here and manifesting his beautiful form along with all his associates. Lalita Vishakha Devi, Gaurnita, I came here as we saw in 1990 along with Shinaji. And the Sakhis came, I believe, in 2004. And the altar is now looking so beautiful. It is Vrindavan. So he has given himself. The whole spiritual world is manifested in front of our eyes. Hopefully one day we can see for what it is. And he's given all of us each other. Right? We all have each other with us. And what more do we want in our life, actually speaking? As Srila Prabhupada, I would like to reminisce this pastime of Prabhupada telling Jagatarani Mataji, Purjan Prabhu's wonderful wife, that just give this one life to Krishna. We have given so many lives to sense gratification, vain attempts to become happy in this world of Maya, where pleasure does not exist. If it exists here, it exists in the form of a mirage. That's all. It doesn't really exist. There's no pleasure here. It's a mirage pleasure. But he told Jagatani Mataji to all of us that we all who are here, clustered here in this beautiful temple, let's give this one life to our beloved Lord. And we will never regret. We will never be the losers. But we will gain nothing less than the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki. Hare Krishna.